Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
This is just perfect execution. The fake, bam. The fake, bam. And then the leak, bam.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
All right, now we're joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Brian joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me. It's a beautiful sunny morning here in South Jersey, and getting ready to start week 7 here tonight.
And mercifully, the Bears get a bye week. Hopefully, they'll heal up a little bit. But, man, they've won 3 games in a row. Obviously, the quarterback looks like a different player than he did earlier in the year, and everybody in Chicago is feeling pretty good.
Well, they should, because they played good football. And, you know, I think the biggest improvement, it really is the offensive line. You know, Matt Pryor at right guard, and, you know, to see what's going on up front with those guys and their commitment to the run game has been really strong the last 3 weeks, and the quarterback has benefited. And with that, you know, now that the offense line looks like it's functioning and it's playing well together, and their assignments are good together, and there's some real gelling and chemistry that's going on, I think that, you know, Shane Waldron has now kind of expanded the playbook, knowing that the quarterback might have time to get the ball down the field to try some of the plays that we saw last week. I think the playbook is expanding because of the confidence in the front with the group up front.
You mentioned Shane Waldron. I think the first 3 games were somewhat inconsistent and at times illogical in terms of the play calling. The last 3 weeks have been a little bit more consistent and they make sense. What do you think changed most, Brian? And when you evaluate the last 3 games of success for the Bears, those 3 victories, what have they done better offensively?
Well, I think they're staying in front of the chains a lot more. They're not in 3rd and long as often as they were those first 3 weeks. The line has played better. You know, I'm proud of Matt Pryor. I've known him a long time. Like, he's playing good football right now up front. You know, you put him next to Wright and, you know, Colton Coleman and Tevin and Jonesy over there. I mean, it's a good group. And the tight ends have figured out their role in this thing. Obviously, Cole Kmet was huge in the passing game, but he's a good blocker. They use Mercedes when they need to. I think it started with the commitment to the run game. DeAndre Swift's had 3 good games in a row. I think that's the big thing is they've got stability on the line and they're running the ball better. The quarterback, I think, you know, now trusts the protection, so he's staying in the pocket. You know, like, he was all over the place the first 3 weeks. And he was, you know, it was just helter-skelter football, and that's, you can't win like that. So he's trusted the protection. He's winning from the pocket. He's making the big plays when he needs to. But he's kind of taking what the defense has given him, and they're making good reads, and you're seeing strong accuracy when he makes the throw. I think all those things add up to an offense that is now, you know, scoring a lot of touchdowns.
It's interesting because I love the kid's demeanor out of the game. He didn't talk about the success he had throwing 4 touchdowns. He talked about the one he missed. He had an interception where DJ Moore was wide open and he underthrew the ball, and that allowed an interception, and he was gutted by it. And that's, you know, it's good to hear a guy kind of not celebrating what he did, but regretting what went wrong.
He did the same thing the week before after a win, you know, called Kerry Joseph up, his quarterback coach, and, you know, just started, you know, letting him know what he did wrong in the game after a big win. I think that's who he is. I knew the kid when he was in Gonzaga High School in Washington and working with him at some camps. He was a very advanced student when he was in high school with a lot of talent. But he was at the camp because he wanted to get better. He was being coached by some elite coaches, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, some elite guys. And so I think that's who he is. I think he wants to be great. I think he knows he was gifted with a lot of talent. And the Bears have done a good job surrounding him with talent. And I think that's – I don't think it's about one game and celebrating and, you know, having thrown for, I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about being a very consistent player, giving your team a chance to win every single week, trying to get better in every little way that you can, whether it's just ball handling or carrying out your fakes or, you know, putting your eyes in the right place. I think that's who this kid is. And despite what everybody wants to think about him, at the core, he loves the game of football and he wants to be great at it.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. Baldy, I love the breakdown when you isolated on Austin Booker and you praised him for his effort. Why did that play stand out to you, and how would you evaluate his progress?
Well, I mean, he hasn't played a lot, but he's, you know, look, when you play football in the Big 12 like he did at Kansas, like it's a different brand of football. It's a totally different level of football. Everybody plays the same defense in that conference. Everybody plays a 3-3 double cloud. Like, you never really learn how to rush the passer. But they drafted him because he's got good measurables, you know, and he's a good kid. But when that play was indicative of how they want to play defense, they want to get to the football. Good things happen. They're taking the ball away. Good things happen when you get to the football. And, you know, he rushed the passer. They threw this, you know, check down screen. The screen game is got to be shut down by your defensive line. So you got to retrace your steps. You got to double back, and you got to get to the ball. And he makes the tackle. And look, he's not playing a lot, but he's getting on the field right now. And I'm like, this is what you want to see from this kid. You want to turn the projector on. You're sitting there in the room. There's Montez Sweat. There's some veteran players that are in that room with you, and you show up. Like, I think the guys are like, he's gonna get there. It's gonna take some time. We gotta learn these offenses. You gotta learn these blocking schemes. But that is the type of effort that I think, you know, the coaches on that side of the ball, that's what they want to see. They want to see that type of effort, sprinting to the football. And it just, you know, like, it just kind of hit me like, this is how this Bears team plays right now. And he fits in with that culture. And that those type of plays get you on the field more and more.
Baldy, we were talking about the idea of had Jaden Daniels not been doing all he's doing, people would be talking more about Caleb Williams and how he's been improving, even if the schedule has been favorable. Well, now they go to Washington after the bye week, and it's Caleb back in his hometown against the number two pick in the draft, Jaden Daniels. It just feels like it's kind of one of those big moments for a guy that seems to like big moments.
Oh, I mean, look, and the networks have accommodated them. They've already flexed the game from 1 o'clock to 4:25. It's in the national window. They want everybody to see these two kids. And, you know, I'm on that game. I'm doing that game for national radio and found out, I guess, maybe Monday night or Tuesday morning that they were flexing it. Like, I was great. You know, like, let's give them the biggest stage possible. We need great young quarterbacks in this league. We just do. You know, when this was a 12-team league, we didn't have enough great quarterbacks. We need great quarterbacks. And if they're young and improving, the way Jaden played against Lamar last week, that was an awesome game. The way, you know, Lamar played against Joe Burrow 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, that was an awesome game. You get these young quarterbacks that have legit talent, and they don't need a big incubation period to kind of grow and show that talent. I mean, we're in the entertainment industry. These guys are entertaining the heck out of us right now. It's fantastic for the league. It's going to be a big spot, win or lose. It's going to be a big spot. You know, Caleb needs to feel that. Jaden needs to feel that, because both teams feel like right now they can be playoff contending teams, and that's what playoff games are. And to some degree, it's going to feel a lot like that next Sunday afternoon.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So how impressed were you with what Cole Kmet did? He caught two touchdown passes, and then he became the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week with five long snaps, successful long snaps. I know there was a guy, he was the first player since Mike Bartram from the Eagles to score a touchdown and then snap the extra point. Do you remember him with the Eagles, and how impressed are you by Kmet?
Well, first of all, I've been in that role where you're the backup snapper.
Ah.
And you hope you practice every day. You know, with special teams, and, you know, I mean, Cole Kmet, believe me, nobody wants that job. Nobody. You have to do it. because there's it's you can only fail if you go and deliver the snap like he did. Nobody really even knows you're doing it. You only know it if something goes wrong. I did it one time against the Raiders, you know, and this is before they changed all the rules where they just beat the hell out of the center. And there's Howie Long on my nose, and I got to get this extra point snap back, you know, to the holder. Like, it's a pressure job. I'm sure Cole, you know, felt all that pressure, way more pressure than anything else he was doing. But to go out and do it like he did, like, congratulations to the guys that vote on that award, because he earned it and deserved it. Because believe me, nobody wants to be in that position where you're in a position to fail. You don't do it regularly. You never do it under pressure. You never do it against a live rush. You just got to go and be a pro and just do it. And more power to Cole in doing that.
Yeah, he was fortunate that they did not have to punt, right? So he just kind of had to do the same trick. That's worse, right? I'm just wondering, you know, I was reading our guy Brad Biggs from the Tribune got a hold of Patrick Manley, who one of the great all-time long snappers, never got that award, by the way. But it's the first time any long snapper has ever gotten honored as a special teams player of the week. But he was saying that, like, when he talks to high school teams, if they're out of, you know, looking for a long snapper, he will tell them, try your backup quarterback. Because it really is a snap of the wrist. It's not. It's like throwing the ball between your legs. It's not like snapping the ball. And we talked to Olin Krutz earlier in the week, and he said that if he were asked to be a long snapper, he'd have been a construction worker. He just couldn't do it.
No. Well, first of all, Olin Krutz, myself, like, our elbows are shot to begin with. Just from, you know, run block and pass blocking all day, every day. Like, your elbows are in pain mostly. So especially a guy like Olin, man, just nose tackles, outweighing him by 50 pounds every Sunday or whatever. And he's battling these guys. And then you're saying, okay, because it is a snap and you do have to, you know, it is a pass, but it's, you know, your elbows are snapping every day. Like, it hurts to do it. Like, I'm with Olin. If I had to do that full time, back when I played, we didn't have specialists that did it. You know, our centers and our backup center, like me, like we did the snapping. And it was double duty. And so Olin's not wrong, and Patrick Manley is right when he says it's really like that. But I don't think we should put backup quarterbacks in
high school.
Brian, right. with the bye week, there's no Bears opponent to break down. I'm curious what your perspective is on something you probably know a lot about in Philadelphia. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, obviously in hot water, a lot of controversy because of the way that he was yelling at the fans who were booing. Is there anything he can do to rehabilitate his image there? Is he lost the fan base? Can he ever regain it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. I did the game. I saw him doing it during the game. I had no idea what the heck he was thinking about. Like, these Philadelphia fans were in the parking lot, much like Bear fans, 5 hours before a game, win or lose, good season, bad season, they're there. Like, those fans pay every salary. And the team wasn't playing good, okay? And so, you know, they had a punt block for a touchdown, you know, against Cleveland, who's a bad team. And, you know, they struggled to win the game. And he's giving the fans the business. Like, first of all, that you never win that argument, ever. So that's one thing. But then where's your concentration at during the game? Like, Cleveland, if they made one play, they could have won that game. They couldn't make it. But it just blew me away. So can he rehabilitate? Yes. I'm sure if I was the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, I mean, I'd have him in my office as soon as the game was over and scolding him like a child, because that's how he acted, like a child. Like, there's no place for that. I don't care what he thinks the result was going to be, motivate his team, rally the troops, whatever he was thinking. I've never seen that before. And I've seen Buddy Ryan come through Philly, and it's one thing you're walking off the field after a game, the fans are booing you after a bad game, and you give the fans the business walking off the field. During the game, I've never seen a coach ever do that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, we talked about this a little bit. The idea that one coach has already been fired in October almost gives these guys permission to be the next guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be awful careful seeing what happened with Robert Saleh.
Well, I mean, look, we saw it last year in Carolina. You know, they blew their coaching staff out, you know, after a few games. I mean, this it's a quick cook in this business right now. Like, they're not going to let you, if they don't feel like the organization is going in the right direction, that they're being well led by your head coach. These owners, they're not afraid to make a change. I mean, it's better to do it too early than to too late.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Yep.
All right, talk to you next week, man. Yep. Can't wait for next week's game.
Good stuff. That should be really funny. And he's doing the game. We'll get a great breakdown next week. That's Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the Best Football Show podcast. And Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Weren't any big trades yesterday in the NFL. Everyone got kind of a breather. Everyone went back to work. I wonder how each receiver that changed teams will impact this week's games. I think Amari Cooper is going to be worked in immediately in Buffalo. And it sure sounds like Davante Adams has recovered from that hamstring injury.
That's so funny. He was at practice running routes. This is the guy that, you know, was legless and couldn't run when he was in Oakland.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is. So they will be in a primetime stage against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Jets and Steelers. Steelers have their own share of controversy, if you want to call it that, but they have a quarterback situation that it looks like Russell Wilson is trending towards starting over Justin Fields. A lot of people don't understand that. I think in Mike Tomlin, I trust his judgment. I trust what he knows what he's talking about. I think he has earned the benefit of the doubt in a way that not every head coach in the NFL would.
Well, I think that if indeed that does occur, and I will be surprised if it doesn't, that will be going back to the same issues that were talked about with Justin Fields when he was the Bears quarterback and his ability, extraordinary ability, to run in the open field, to make an impact with his legs versus his inconsistency and accuracy as a starting quarterback. And I think that that's will be a kind of nod to Russ can throw the ball better than Justin Fields, and you're not going to win much come playoff time unless you can throw the football.
And the Steelers are thinking about the playoffs, and they're thinking about the postseason, and they're thinking about this probably big picture. I do think that there are ways that would not surprise me one bit if Arthur Smith, who's a pretty open-minded, innovative offensive coordinator, he's found ways to get the most out of his talent. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a package of plays for Justin Fields.
Well, I hope so, because you know, the most important thing is not whether the Steelers do well or whether they can win in the playoffs. It's whether the Bears get that fourth pick. So Justin Fields has opened the season with six starts. There are 17 games in an NFL season. Mm-hmm. They are trending toward getting, rather than a sixth-round pick for him, a fourth-round pick for him because he's played all these games. But now you just don't want Russ, you know, if that guy can pull up lame, if that guy could get knocked out of a game, no one in Chicago should be upset because you want more plays.
You want the fourth-round pick.
That's all you
want. Yeah, that's all you care about is the fourth-round pick. And I don't think the Steelers are making personnel decisions.
Not yet. But if they get to the end of the year, Mr. David, and you've got a package for him and you realize, if we play him two more times in this game – He's gonna cost us a fourth rather than a sixth round pick. Maybe then they pay attention.
Not if they're playing for contention of a playoff spot. Not if they're playing for seeding. I think that they will always put winning now over worrying later about draft picks.
I think if they can get the Bears, they'll do it.
They like to make deals with the Bears because they tend to go well. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm suggesting that.
Yeah, that is the truth. But I just have a hard time. I think it's wasted energy to worry about whether or not he plays this many snaps or that many snaps. I think they are trending in the direction of going to Russ to see what they've got. And it's easier to go back to him. And I think now you're not going to lose. Justin Fields is a mentally tough guy. I don't think you're going to lose him if you have to go back to him for whatever reason.
And I think especially if, as you say, you've got like a group, a package of plays, you're going to have like a Justin Fields sort of moment or two within the game. Which
red zone.
It makes sense.
Short yardage.
Would. Absolutely.
You know, the element of surprise. Maybe he comes in for a wild. Who knows what the situation is, but I think they're going to find ways to use him.
All right. We've got a lot to get to. We're going to kind of review where we're at. You saw Lonzo Ball last night. What did you think of that? Amazing, really. We'll see if that sustains itself. There's rumors out there about the White Sox, and we'll get back to a little bit of that talk. Pretty interesting stuff, and we'll go over all of it next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
This was a hell of a night for him. You know, here are the game ball, brother. So, you know, just like Kobe said, I respect you more than anything, bro, because this shit that you've been through. We love you, care about you. I'm glad to see you back.
Family
on three, man. One, two, three.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the Bulls family in the locker room after the game. Kobe White, Zach LaVine giving the game ball to Lonzo Ball because Lonzo played for the first time in 33 months,
and Zach LaVine chased down the game ball of a meaningless, seemingly meaningless preseason victory over the Timberwolves. It's not meaningless to Lonzo Ball or to the Bulls teammates. Boy, they really have an affection for him. They've been with him as he stood by them. He couldn't play. He still had some visibility. He was still around the team when he could be. Give him a lot of credit. That speaks to just how much respect they have for him and his stature in the organization.
And we've had a lot of fun with it this morning, just talking about it, because it was a big moment. But we also want to take a second and congratulate our guy, Mitch Rosen, on his birthday.
His
birthday today.
Yeah.
Mitch has turned another year. Why are you so curious? He's in great shape. God bless him. And many healthy more years to come.
Yeah, happy birthday to Mitch Rosen, who takes care of everybody. So hopefully somebody will take care of him today. It wasn't us.
Let's dance. Well, I mean, in fairness to us, there were no bakeries open when
that's
we
right.
came in
that's,
this
let's
morning.
Go with that. There's no.
That's all it was.
Let's go with that.
We had every intention of getting a bunch of baked goods in here.
We thought
here
so. We thought Mitch. That was going to be the case.
We had a cake that we would – it's already waiting. It's got the frosting with his name on it. The whole thing's
the
been
whole
done.
Thing. Yeah.
And he wanted the piece with
it's a big day.
A purple flower.
It's going to be a big
we're
night.
We're going to do that.
He goes to the United Center. They might even roll out the red carpet for him.
They're rolling out the red carpet tonight
they
for
are.
The Blackhawks.
Home
I
opener.
Love that.
Home opener. The San Jose Sharks are in town. Disappointed in one standpoint. Macklin Celebrini is not going to play. He's on injured reserve, retroactive to October 10th. Thought we would get Celebrini versus Bedard. That's okay. Makes it easier for the Blackhawks maybe to eke out a victory in their home opener. It's going to be a big night at the UC. A lot of pomp and circumstance. The Blackhawks do ceremony quite well.
Thank you, John McDonough. Didn't he bring that
they
tradition?
They started that tradition years ago during their heyday, and it has maintained and continued. And so tonight they will be introducing Blackhawks one by one, and they walk down the red carpet.
Will Artie, where's the party, be there?
I don't think he's going to be part of that.
He's on injured reserve as well, I believe.
Yeah. A lot of other Blackhawks. They need a victory tonight. I think they need a victory after having a promising start to the season on the road. 1-2-1. They lost to Calgary a couple nights ago, but tonight they can get back on the winning track, and it's a winnable game at home. Great atmosphere. Go Hawks.
Yeah, so we got Lonzo Ball, and we got the Blackhawks, and we got no Bears this weekend, but plenty of NFL games, and we've got the White Sox drama. Is there drama? The report that the White Sox, that Jerry Reinsdorf has met or is dealing with Dave Stewart and his crew about this in sort of what would you say? Shopping the White Sox? Is that what it is?
Active discussions.
Actively discussing.
The headline in The Athletic said that Jerry Reinsdorf is open to selling the White Sox. I think that is less startling than some of the details. I think everyone understands and would accept the fact that he is open to selling the White Sox. He has talked about, it has been reported that he has instructed his heirs to sell the White Sox upon his death and keep the Bulls. So that has been reported before. The fact that he's open to selling them after the worst season in MLB history shouldn't come as a huge shock, but it did create a bit of a stir on Wednesday afternoon. I don't know that I would use, not to quibble.
No.
I don't know that I would use the word drama as much as intrigue. There's some intrigue surrounding what happens next and maybe why this is news now.
I like drama because it is perhaps a staged event. It is perhaps a drama as opposed to a factual event.
I
don't know.
I can't quibble with that because there is intrigue surrounding that possibility.
You are quibbling about everything. I feel
no,
like
I'm not.
I feel quibbled.
No. I just wanted to use quibble.
I love it. I've used it myself now. So here's the thing that is fascinating to me as we talk about all these possibilities. When you look at, if I'm a billionaire, and I don't know what that's like, but were I to be a billionaire, would I now want to investigate whether there was a possibility of, if a man is interested in selling something to one person, would he sell it to me? Should I call up and, Jeff Bezos here, just wondering if maybe I could double the price of whatever you're talking about and take that team over?
My sense would be that those intentions would already be known or maybe stated. Or let me say that a different way. I don't think that there was a billionaire under that scenario who was out there yesterday saying, I didn't know Jerry Reinsdorf was interested in talking about selling the White Sox.
I love that team. I love that story about the second baseman.
If there were businessmen.
Nicky Lopez being a.
Nicky Lopez Gold Glove finalist at second base. You talk about a shocking headline of the week.
That's the most shocking White Sox headline of the week.
Nicky Lopez being a finalist for the Gold Glove at second base is a bigger surprise than Jerry Reinsdorf shopping the White Sox.
That is mean, man. That is
That's not mean.
Face.
That's fact. That's fact. Okay, maybe this one had a little bit more of an impact on the game potentially. I think that what you're saying and alluding to is that if there are billionaires in the city of Chicago who have a baseball interest and a vested interest in keeping the White Sox in the city, now is the time to make that known, right? Or now is the time that you would like for them to step forward and emerge as a potential investor, buyer, savior.
Yes. Please, may the real savior stand up. We, during the break, we're talking about different names of people, and you're now going to go out and try to sell the franchise for Jerry. I think that's great.
Thank you. I'm
getting involved.
I'll get a commission.
Yeah.
No, I think I have written this years ago in the Chicago Tribune. We have talked about it openly on the air. Andrew Berlin is a Chicago businessman who is owner of the South Bend Cubs, part of the Cub organization. Before that, he was a minority owner in the White Sox, I believe. And so he has a vested interest in Chicago. I don't know that he would be interested. At one point in time, we did talk about that possibility, and there was a twinkle in his eye, but I don't know if that still exists.
Well, give him a call. Let's find okay. out. I think it's interesting because just to remind everyone, they wrote this in the story. Apparently, Forbes has evaluated the White Sox as being worth $2.5 billion. Just over $2 million. I'm sorry. $2.05. Jerry Reinsdorf is, of course, the chairman of the Chicago White Sox and the majority owner. And he actually owns 19% of the team, according to Forbes, but he is the controlling partner. In other words, if they were to sell the team, they would sell 100% of the team, and the partners would get their payoff from whatever that was, but Jerry would get 19% of whatever that sale was. So it's interesting to look at it that way.
It is interesting to look at it that way when you talk to people familiar with the situation, and it doesn't appear that Jerry Reinsdorf views the White Sox as a terribly profitable enterprise. the money that he does make does go back into the organization.
Yeah.
The investors are left with, I'm not quite sure how that works, but I would love to hear from them if we how they feel about this latest development.
But if you were part of the ownership group that bought this for $20 million,
yeah, well, you have,
and now it's worth $2.05 billion. Dollars,
that's quite a return on the investment.
Yes, I think if you want to cash out.
Over 43 years.
Well, it's a long time.
It's a long time.
No shadow of a doubt.
Cashing out is...
I'm just wondering what else could you invest in over that length of time that would give you that sort of a profit margin. It's pretty good. It's pretty good if you had that money back in the day. And
it'd be a fascinating business exercise for somebody to study. If you would have invested, what company could you have invested in 1981 that 43 years later would have that kind of a return?
Microsoft.
Possibly.
You know, Apple.
I think some sort of software.
Some kind of software.
Yeah, some sort of technology
Amazon.
Investment.
When did that start?
When did that? Not in 81.
No, it didn't.
We were not dealing with Amazon in 81.
Not yet.
No. I think we were still.
What is the most profitable business, right? Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world, right?
I would believe he's got to be close.
No, I don't know.
Come by. But that is a story worth monitoring, whether
fun.
It's intriguing or dramatic or a combination of both.
Yes.
It is something that to continue to follow. Thursday night football tonight. You got Sean Payton going back to New Orleans with the Broncos and Saints. That'll be interesting. We've got baseball.
Yeah, the playoffs
Why
are ongoing.
Why do you hate baseball?
I love baseball. Your guy, I forget his name. He's a foreign player. Shohei Ohtani hit a big home
majestic
run.
Majestic home run.
Yeah.
He is as clutch as anybody ever has been in the postseason right now with runners in scoring position. It is uncanny and unbelievable what he's doing.
Well, I mean, not only is he the MVP, it's in a recovery year. So the guy is only able to produce runs and steal bases and hit home runs and pretty special.
You know, he's so good at it. I forget sometimes that he's even a pitcher.
Yeah.
And I wonder why he would even bother.
Yeah.
Why would he even bother going back to throwing?
Well, you know, I mean, when you can do things like, why do I write so much romance fiction? When you've got the skill, you have to apply it.
I am not interested in any of the romance fiction you have written.
I'll send you some, fella.
That sounds
good. You'll get all heated up.
Uncomfortable. All right. Well, right now, you'd be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line at 312-540-0670. And you can win a pair of weekend passes to next summer's Windy City Smokeout 2025. 312-540-0670.
I'm looking at Dustin has put together, or Brandon, excuse me, put together personal wealth key investments. So Elon Musk has passed Jeff Bezos. I thought Jeff Bezos with Tesla and SpaceX.
Well, keep him away from the White Sox.
Jeff Bezos. Mark Zuckerberg. Do you want him as the Sox investor?
No.
Meta Platforms. That's Bernard Arnault, and he's worth $196 billion dollars.
Is that all? Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know enough about him. So I would want him to buy it.
He wouldn't even miss $2 billion.
Not even. It wouldn't blink.
No.
He wouldn't be. He would be like, don't I have $200 billion? No, you're down to 194.
Oh, boy.
What? Oh, well.
Going to brown bag it to work today.
Yeah. He wouldn't even miss it. That's awesome stuff. All right. We've got to get to our colleagues. We're going to talk to Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein. We'll do that next. I'm probably going to roll out of here.
Okay, we'll have a safe
head
trip.
Head out of town, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
Get you some Boston University hockey gear.
Well, I think that it'll be half price without Celebrini leading the program.
That's great
stuff. A great trip.
All right, buddy. See you soon.